Welcome to the Master Your Health podcast. My name is Amanda Rocchio, previously Amanda Meixner. I am best known for my meal prep and nutrition content. And today I'm here with my co-host, the research junkie between the two of us, and my husband, Chris Rocchio.
Hello, everyone. And real quick, we wanted to read a review from one of our listeners. This is from Katie603. It's 5-star. I love this podcast because it's so educational, but broken down so that it's easy to comprehend. I learn so much every episode. I have followed their Instagram accounts and was waiting for a podcast. Love it. Yeah, we were kind of dragging our feet on starting that podcast, so we finally got around to it earlier this year, I guess.
We made it happen, and honestly, it's been so much fun doing it with Chris, so I hope you guys are loving all the episodes. And if you could take a moment, pause the podcast, leave a review. Like I say every time, it'd mean so much to Chris and I.
Absolutely.
Before we get into today's topic, I did want to talk to you about a new product Chris and I were really excited about. It's Balance by Organifi. And if you listen to one of our intro to gut health or part two, you'll realize that prebiotics and probiotics are an important part of a healthy gut. And one thing I love about this specific product is it has 5 different strains of bacteria. So it's not just one. You got a diverse group, and there are 20 billion cells in this product. So, you know, some of them won't have nearly enough strains to really help you out. And this is the real deal.
Yeah, you're going to want a diverse microbiome. And that means many strains of bacteria, like Amanda said, because each plays a slightly different role in terms of creating neurotransmitters and things like that. And this is important because gut dysbiosis and an imbalance of microbes in the gut may contribute to things like weight gain, more sugar cravings, high blood sugar, and other problems. And this is really important because what some may not know is that your gut microbiome isn't just responsible for digestion, you know, like the breakdown and absorption of nutrients and compounds and stuff like that, but it also has an important role in your immune system. Like I said, neurotransmitter production, your mood, there's a gut-brain connection through the vagus nerve that happens. And we talk about that in our gut health episode that Amanda mentioned. So, and we can't talk about probiotics without talking about prebiotics, which is the food that the bacteria eats. And this comes all in one package. So not only are you fueling your system with probiotics, but you're also giving it the food so it can thrive and spread and all that kind of stuff. So it's really an all-in-one supplement in terms of gut health. And like we said, we take this every day. It's great.
I really do like the small portable packets too. It's great for when you're on the go or if you want to just throw it in your smoothie or you're traveling, which is a great time to re-up on your prebiotics and probiotics, especially if you don't have access to fresh foods and vegetables and all that stuff. And like Chris said, I do love that you get both in one package because normally, you know, I might have my probiotic and I need to remember to eat some asparagus or eat some apples, which I still eat in my day. I'm not saying don't eat those things, but this, you know, all-in-one balance portable package is perfect. So you don't have to worry about eating some food at the same time you take this. And I mean, like I said, if you want to throw it in your smoothie, I love throwing it in my smoothie.
Or just start your day with it, with your water.
Absolutely. And you can see all of our favorite Organifi products at Organifi.com/masteryourhealth. And our discount code is masters, because you guys are the masters of your own health with an S. And that gets you 15% off all our favorite products. You know, right now we really love the red juice, green juice, their protein powder. I love the chocolate protein powder. Mm-hmm. And then this balance supplement is everything we need to kind of like round out our overall health.
Yeah, absolutely. But now moving on to the topic of our episode, it was actually my cousin from my dad's side, and she's a PE teacher. Her name is Anna Forsolito. And she's been teaching grade school physical education for, 14 years, she said?
Yeah, that's a long time.
Which is good because she's always been the health nut in my family. And so is right along with me. She was actually a lot more consistently a health nut. You know, I kind of had my fallout in my 20s there, like I've discussed in previous episodes. But it's just really great because she has, not only is she talking about the proper way to educate your child physically, but also kind of the emotional aspects that are centered around what it takes to really inspire the kid, to reach the kid mentally and emotionally and inspire them and motivate them in the right way. Because as we know, they're not all driven by the same things and the same motivations. So I like her well-rounded approach.
Absolutely. I mean, I'm pretty fascinated with how to get kids involved in physical exercise and how to get them to eat better. So this episode really call to me. I really had so many great takeaways, and I also kind of missed that I didn't have a PE class like this in my school. So you'll find the way she sets it up super interesting. I don't want to give too much away, but I do also want to add that she really practices what she preached. Like, Chris and I actually met her in the park the other week, and we did a crazy, like, well-rounded circuit. She also asked me to do a warm-up jog, and I was like, this is not a warm-up jog.
Yeah, this is part of the workout.
We ran like half a mile, like, fairly fast. I was like, so she really is super fit herself, and I love what she brings to the PE class, and you'll really get to hear all the details in this episode.
Yeah, let's get into it, and you guys will hear all what Amanda's talking about.
And I'd like to welcome to the show Anna Forsalito.
Hey.
Hey.
Hey, cuz.
Hey, cuz. How you doing?
I guess now my cousin, too, since we got married in October. It's official. We're officially cousins.
Yay.
So just a little bit of background. PE was my favorite, you know, one of my favorite classes in school. So it's great to have a PE teacher right here, the legend. So I really wanted to ask you, you know, what brought you into this role of physical education teacher? You know, you seem very passionate about it. So how'd you kind of stumble onto it?
Yeah, thank you so much for asking. So I grew up with three sisters and a brother, and I grew up in a very diverse, independent household where our sisters were all very independent of each other. But our parents, you know, our personalities were all really different as well. So as we were growing up, our parents really just let us try different things and let us find our niche. And so we all have different stories. And so that's kind of how I stumbled, like fell into this. And my mom just wanted us to find something that we love to do and make a career out of it. And I loved working with kids, and I loved helping kids, and I loved sports. So at that time, that is how I became a teacher, and I went into the profession. That's how it started, and how it evolved was, you know, growing up, I had some stuff that I had my own experiences, and you know, I had a lot of people tell me that I couldn't achieve a lot of different things and, you know, be successful with sports or with fitness, or that I wasn't going to amount to a lot of different things. I had a lot of people telling me that, and so I had to use that as fire and use that as fuel in order to, you know, show people that you can do whatever it is that you want to do, and you can achieve and become whatever it is you want to become. And that's what I try to tell my students and model for them, because it's really important that they can see that you don't have to commit to any type of role, and you don't have to fit into any type of mold that society has for you, and you get to create it for yourself.
Yeah, that's funny. I mean, I can tell you're so passionate about it, because I always labeled you as Chris's fit cousin. Not that, you know, all your cousins are great, but like Anna's super into it.
Yeah.
You know, running, like you were training for a marathon during our wedding. I remember you got a little sick that night because you had trained, or you trained hard and you drank some coconut water. So
I did.
But that's so great to marry like a couple of your passions, like working with kids and sports, to really see that come to life is a beautiful thing.
Thank you.
So my first question, because I think this is so important when it comes to getting kids physically active, is how do you make it PE fun for these kids? Like, you know, would you consider it a really fun class, or is it boring? No.
Well, I'll give you an example for today. I just told you earlier, you know, we had very virtual learning during COVID right now, but so finding the niches of everything and finding out what that looks like. What it turned into is, by the end of the day today, I was jumping up and down and fist pumping and singing with students as they were working out and like through a screen. And that's just, you know, you have to just be yourself in the middle of it. And when they see that you're having fun with them, that they're having fun with you, and it's a vice versa. So if my kids aren't having fun, then I'm not going to be having fun either. So one thing that is a really great detail is putting music into it. Music changes
absolutely
everything. It always helps pump you up. It always changes the dynamic and improves the environment and the atmosphere. You know, giving kids choice and allowing them to have a voice in that process too. So asking them what they like, asking them what they're interested in or what they want to see and in class, and where we can fit that in, because not everything that they like might not be physical education, but where can we create it into our curriculum, or where can we put it into our classroom that would fit for a physical education class, and then they can find more value and appreciate it. So, you know, that it also helps with building a relationship with them, and they feel valued and heard, which then allows them to enjoy it that much more.
No, I love that tip. And I mean, obviously that applies to both kids and adults, the music tip, but I also love how you get them involved. Obviously you're probably not taking music requests like the song WAP. I think that would maybe be a no-no for seventh grade, although they have a Queen version. Oh, that's all I'm saying. You know, we can drop some of that song right here in the Christmas.
That's not happening.
I'll tell you what, I don't necessarily take those types of requests, but I will tell them, I will say, if you have music that is appropriate, that is school appropriate, that, you know, maybe a principal would walk in and be okay listening to, or maybe even start to break out and dance to, you know, whatever, then I'm all for that. It's because that allows them to enjoy music that they want to enjoy, you know, and then as they're enjoying it, they're playing and they're moving, they're not realizing that they're getting their heart rate up and they're being physically active and they're exercising, and they then enjoy the benefits of it too.
That's amazing. So I guess working with a bunch of seventh graders has its challenges. So what are some of the biggest challenges when it comes to teaching kids PE?
I think one of the things that is really common right now is, you know, it's so important that we create this really relationships with our kids and with our students, and having the foundation of that relationship, because and making sure that they are feeling safe and welcome and able to just be themselves, so that when they are feeling safe and welcome in that environment and that they can be themselves, they are more open to, one, trusting you, and then trying new things and being open with new things. And then they're also trusting you to allow them, to help them push past these boundaries that they may have. So whether, for example, let's say that they're trying a new activity that they would be totally closed off to, even dance sometimes, you know, I mean, some people really don't like dance, and that's fine. We love dance.
Absolutely.
But maybe it's trying dance, or maybe it's a fitness test that they are not comfortable with a certain level of fitness, and their heart rate gets to a certain level, and you know, they're feeling tired, and they are like, this is when they normally stop, you know. And so we have a conversation with each other, and it's because we're developing and establishing that trust with them, that, you know, they trust me, that I know that they can push past that boundary line in order to improve their fitness level. And then, you know, the aftermath of it is, yes, they're working a lot harder, but they're also growing and seeing what it looks like on the other side, and they feel really good about it after they're done. They're like, oh my gosh, this happened. Like, I can't believe I just did this, you know? And it's that moment you're like, yes, dance it out and everything.
Yes. No, I think that's a great point about, you know, getting people to push past their boundaries. I know Chris is always trying to get me to push it a little bit further, because, you know, bringing intensity to the gym is not something I do. So that's that's great that you even incorporate that with kids, starting, obviously, building that trust. And I'm assuming, like, getting that foundational form on everything and helping them through that process so you can take it to the next level.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, one of my questions is how do you get somebody who maybe doesn't have the proclivity for athleticism and is not really active? Let's just say they don't really, you know, like the parents don't foster an active lifestyle, but maybe they want to, but they haven't quite gotten across to the kid to motivate. But then they're forced to be in that PE class with you, and they can't just sit out. So what do you do to motivate a kid like that?
You know, that's the importance of that relationship, because if you are fostering those relationships with them and you're allowing them to feel safe and engaged and comfortable and, you know, welcomed, and yet they feel challenged and they're having fun, that's going to allow them to branch out and try new things. Even if they're not, you know, maybe necessarily a fit or active person at home, even if they're more prone to being video, you know, doing video games, you know, it's still going to create an atmosphere for them that no matter what, they can at least try. And you know, you coach them along the way, and you pour love on them with positive reinforcement, and you encourage them, and you make it specific for them, and we establish goals, and, you know, whatever that goal. And it's really just, we meet them where they are, because we have to meet them where they are as kids, because if we don't, then, you know, or if we have to meet people where we are, because if we don't, how can we expect to help them, or how can we expect to help each other in all of this, you know? So, but we have, you know, that's SEL and social emotional learning has become on the forefront of education, especially health and physical education. And so, you know, really tapping into what that looks like and understanding that mind-body connection and that everything is connected. And when kids feel better about who they are, they're healthier overall. So when they are more fit or they're more active, we know that when they're more fit and active, they feel better how they look or who they are, what they do as a person, their self-esteem goes up. You know, they're making better choices. They're making better choices about their social network or their nutrition choices, or just they're learning better in school because their mental clarity is increasing. So that's really, it's all inclusive, and just making sure that we can help develop that and help that grow in that person. It has to be specific to that person.
Because I know, like, when we were kids, when it was time to do a physical education activity in the class, everybody was doing the same thing, and you were forced. And so, like, even the most timid kid, when we had to play dodgeball and we were just chucking this thing at each other's heads, like, the timid kid with no proclivity for that type of mentality is forced to do it, and they just get railed upon. And I used to feel so bad. Looking back, when you're a kid, you don't feel bad in the moment. You're trying to peg kids. But, like, I felt bad looking back in the day. And so is there a situation nowadays, because we're a little bit more in tune with that, with the differences in kids, to where if they don't want to do that, they can go and do a physical activity that's more to their liking?
Oh, absolutely. So the good news, I think it's good news, and most health and physical educators will agree, that there's no more dodgeball in health and PE.
Oh, there's no, what? They got rid of dodgeball?
They did.
Oh, no.
Overall, but that's not a bad thing. It's not a bad thing, you know, but.
What about volunteer dodgeball? Like, you can play if you want to play.
Volunteer. I'm sure kids organize their own games on the side.
You know, outside of class, I mean, they have their own leagues and stuff, I'm sure. But, you know, inside class, we usually try to tap into more skill-based things and giving those kids those choices. So giving choice is a really big deal. And, you know, there's also, what's also nice about it is that we have platforms in order to help kids tap into what those emotions look like, for like anxiety, for instance, or things that they might not feel comfortable doing, like dodgeball, which is no longer, but, We've really we have a program called Help Moves Minds, and it's a service learning program through Shape America and MoShape, and so our national and state associations. And what that is, it's a service learning project that equips kids with this language and healthy strategies to navigate through their day-to-day life, especially with what's going on currently with COVID. So I hope I answered your question correctly.
No, absolutely. And actually, there's a follow-up on that, is that, like, because obviously childhood obesity is rising in this country, at, like, it's an alarming rate. So what do you do in a situation like that? Like, how would you recommend to parents that they address that in terms of just adding a little bit of activity? Because, you know, I mean, obviously there's a diet factor, but most people can change the activity level before they're willing to change diet, or at least it's a lot easier. And so, what do you usually do, or what would you recommend, being that this is your profession, you know?
Well, one, I think that you have to meet asking really good questions or better questions and look at it from a holistic perspective. You know, oftentimes there's more going on than just behind what meets the eye or what the physical boundaries. You know, if a child is obese or not active or having these limitations or whatever that lifestyle is or wherever they are, we have to meet them where they are. And then we have to find out what's going on behind that in order to create that relationship and open them up to the fact of, you know, this isn't a bad thing, or this being active is okay. Or, you know, sometimes they're not active because they, once again, they don't feel comfortable in the classroom because there might be kids that are laughing at them, or, you know, whatever the case may be, there's always something going on behind the surface. So there's always a deeper level to that. And I think our responsibility and one of our jobs is, and one of our gifts, I would say, is to, I don't know if gifts is the right word, but.
No, I totally think
it's a skill. You develop it, you know.
I think skill, yeah. Go ahead.
No, I was gonna say it's a gift that you're giving to other people, so I think that totally applies.
Yeah. Okay. I just think that you have to be able to meet them where they are and get to know that kid. And when you can, and find out what they like. It might not be anything related to PE, but it may be music or art, or maybe math or science, or it may be some other subject area. But when you take an interest in that child and you take an interest in who they are and what they care about, it's amazing what you'll see and how it will open them up to trying new things and doing different things, you know? So diet and exercise, I don't think in those situations is necessarily everything. That can be a stepping stone. That can be the next step, is then addressing some goals with that. But I think the first step is you got to get to know the kid, and you have to make that relationship and form that relationship with them and find out what they like and you know, what lights them up inside. Every kid has something that lights them up inside, and we get to figure that out.
No, that's a really good answer. I like that.
I think that's a wonderful approach. And I also, just to add on to that, I hear like one thing that's really not great to discuss with your kid is their weight and stuff like that. So I think it's great focusing on the things you said, and also for parents focusing on their habits. You know, what are the healthy habits they're doing to support that? And don't get them roped into this weight game. Because that's, you know, and then, I mean, for both guys and girls, but even girls especially, you know, self-esteem, and then all of a sudden you're wrapped up in this number on the scale, and you're not really addressing the bad habits is really the key component.
Yeah, no, I get it. I understand the whole emotional intelligence aspect of it, that you need to, you know, tap into the kids' sensitivities, what drives them, what is the emotional block, if there is one. But at the same time, you know, and obviously I don't have kids, I don't teach kids, so I don't know how the approach is. And so I may be a little bit insensitive in this, but I feel that there is a urgency to nip that in the bud in early life, or else they accept that as their part of their identity, you know, like, oh, I was the fat kid in school, you know, things like that. And I've had actually a really good friend of mine who just went through this transformation. Like, it was like 3 or 4 years ago, but he went from, like I was saying, he was like one of the fatter kids in our school. And I know I can't use that word, but oh well, but that's his words. And so, and he went from that to just absolutely ripped at like 35. He made this turnaround, you know, but he was talking about emotionally how he accepted that he was going to be the fat, funny kid. And going into high school, college, when it was time to start dating and stuff like that, he had, you know, the low self-esteem to approach girls. And so he was always focused on getting messed up, like getting drunk and all that kind of stuff, and being the funny guy. But really, behind the scenes, there was this deep-seated, like, for lack of a better term, self-loathing that was rooted in his childhood, you know? And so I'm not saying I know how to do that, but I think it's imperative, you know, to find what it is to turn that around, so it doesn't create this lifelong stigma, because he recovered from it, but you know, many people don't.
Yeah, absolutely. And I can really relate to that story, and growing up and having somewhat of a similar story as I was a kid. And there's almost a brokenness, I think, behind the layers when it comes down to it. I think maybe brokenness would be a better word. Then you have to really peel back those layers and find out what that is when you decide to make those changes, you know? And so when I was deciding to make those changes for myself, I had to peel back a lot of those layers and figure out where that stuff needed to be healed and what work I needed to do on myself. But it was a definite choice in order to change those habits. And they were very deeply seated, rooted from when I was a kid and the experiences that I had growing up that really formed a lot of stuff that I had to navigate through in order to turn around and shift. And I still struggle with some of that stuff from time to time, just because it is very much so deeply rooted, but it is a choice. And you also know that you get to have a choice, and you get to know where you are and know where you've been, and you get to, that gives you hope, and that gives you confidence to, you know, continue to grow and achieve and to continue to help others at the same time, you know. And to attest to Amanda, what you were saying with the girls, that was one of the things I really feel called to help girls, especially this age, to help them navigate through some of that stuff, because it is such a powerful thing that it can be very debilitating and have really long-term effects of it onto our self-esteem and what we do with our lives or what type of relationships we have, whether they're healthy or unhealthy. And, you know, I really feel called to help to show them and demonstrate that they get to be whatever they choose. I mean, it's the best time in the world to be a female right now.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree with that. I mean, there's so many things now. It's no longer like, oh, you can't be a sporty girl. Like, mm-hmm. that's like all the different stereotypes are being broken. Mm-hmm. So I totally agree. A lot more embracing being yourself. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we talked about this previously, but a common misconception I see is about lifting weights. Can kids lift weights? So what is the truth on that subject? And what are your thoughts?
That's a good question. And there are many different opinions I think that people have. And so to say like, what is the truth or what is not, I think it depends on how their age level and where they are developmental wise, you know. So when they're younger, elementary level, or even entering into middle school, we're really going to focus on functional training and functional exercises that are full body exercises or just body weight exercises, and focusing on them developing that type of a strength, but really getting down the form. And one of the two questions I get often asked from parents are, will my kids learn proper form and will they learn about proper nutrition? And that's where I am. And I love that I get those questions, because that right. says a lot about the parents. And I'm like, yes, this is awesome.
Right.
Like, good job. You know, it makes me happy, because that means that we're doing our job. You know, our profession is doing it. We've got a long way to go, but I love that I get those questions. Kids' bodies don't fully develop, their bones don't fully develop, you know, until they're 12 or 13. So, you know, we don't want them to have broken bones easily or get green stick fractures or anything. So I think that it's really important that we focus on form first. And then once I see that they get that form down, then we progress it to more machines or more, you know, dumbbells. But we're always going back to form and always making sure that their form is accurate. And I'm a little really picky about it.
That's great. Well, that's good. That's yeah. awesome.
But I always want to make sure, because, like, you know, the fundamental thing is keeping them safe and not having them get injured. And I think that too often, especially with like elite sports and what comes along with that, they get injured because they're not properly training and they're not getting the nutrition on the flip side and the recovery piece of it in order to help them grow up appropriately.
Right. So basically, are you saying like before 12 to 13 is mostly body weight exercises? And then once they're in the 12 to 13 range, then you could start adding in some weights,
mm-hmm.
you know, obviously being very particular with form. You made that very clear.
Yeah, I started lifting weights at like, I think 12 in my basement with my dad.
That makes sense.
And, mm-hmm. But I always have to stress that you have to do it in a balanced way, or else you're going to form muscle imbalances that are going to mess with, you know, for instance, if your kid is only doing, you know, push-ups all the time and bench presses and not doing any back work and upper back work, he's going to mess with his posture, and mm-hmm. the tight shoulders and chest is going to be pulled forward, like I'm dealing with right now for the rest of my life. You know, so I think muscle imbalances, if you do want to press in and start your kid off in middle school or whatever with a little bit of resistance training, the most important thing is muscle balances. And like you said, and actually poor form is a good indicator that there is a strength imbalance, and that there is there needs to be something that needs to be addressed, whether it's a mobility in the hips or in the ankles, or if it's, you know, just an imbalance between strength in the anterior versus the posterior, you know. So like, mm-hmm. I think there's a lot of nuance in it, but I would say if you are going to do it, you got to do it in a balanced manner. And like you said, starting with form, and as long as the perfect form starts at the beginning and then you start adding some resistance, that's probably a good baseline.
I think we're having a family moment, because he was reading my mind just now about the next thing I was going to say.
Oh, about the muscle imbalances.
Muscle imbalances, yeah. Absolutely. I think.
Yeah, you know, you guys are.
You and me, we're right here.
You guys are long-term cousins. But I think that segues great into, obviously, my next question, which is, what are some of the main elements you include when you're building the PE program? Like, you know, is it the strength training? Like, what are all the kind of key components?
That is a really good question. So thank you for asking. You know, and when it comes to health and physical education, we are really have always been working on developing the whole child. You know, I feel like one of my missions is to help kids, and to help anybody for that matter, you know, make that mind-body connection between fueling your body and how it affects every aspect of your life. And whether that be mentally, emotionally, physically, or nutritionally. You know, we try to make all those connections together. And I have a big four that I give my kids, and it's, you know, daily exercise, eating healthy foods, getting adequate sleep, and self-care. So those are the things that we really focus on in order to what I think and what I feel really develop that whole child, because it is the center of creating a fully educated child and creating a physically educated child. And from there, it stems out to every other subject. But the fitness part of it, it is, we create a plan. We have kids create a plan. They're allowed to set a goal and they tie it to, you know, their fitness scores. And then that is all encompassing for 14 days. They track that plan and they really hone in on it because they get to create it for what it is, and it's personalized for what their goal is. So whether it is to improve their cardiovascular exercise or to improve their muscular strength, it allows them to tie in with the test that is evaluated with the health-related fitness component. So for muscular strength, for the fitness grand, the test is push-ups and curl-ups. So we utilize that, and then we write a SMART goal accordingly to that, and then we tie it in with a 14-day plan about, okay, what is this going to look like? They research exercises and strength training exercises, and they have to make sure that they're balanced. So a pushing exercise and a pulling exercise, and, you know, then they have a full body day and they have cardio days, and we build in rest days into their schedule. And
proper.
It's we tried.
Yeah.
I really wish I had this program at my school. I know. Like, this is so sophisticated. Like, this is a seventh grader program. Like, I mean, most adults would probably benefit from this. So
are you, in terms of the personal goals and everything like that, does each one have a journal at the beginning of the class that they kind of carry out throughout the entire course of the semester? Or
that's a really great question. So there's reflective questions that I give them to ask. I focus more on is whether the journal is, I actually give that they get 8 different nutrition habits that we provide for them, and they choose just one of those habits because, you know, we want them to focus on healthy habits and healthy strategies and give kids ownership of that. And, you know, they get to discover what that looks like and how that feels. And so whatever healthy habit that they choose, then they track that habit and how consistent they are with that habit, and then how they feel with, like, what changes they've noticed. So that's all where right. Kind of the reflective piece comes into play.
That's really cool. And I like the ownership aspect because I feel that we too often infantilize children all the way up through high school and through college sometimes too. And don't give them enough agency, don't give them enough personal accountability and responsibility when they are fully at the age and at the age of reason to be able to fulfill that. So, so I mean, I feel that my generation, it was a good balance. Like we weren't infantilized socially. We ran around the neighborhood unsupervised, but as far as school was concerned, we were. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, I like to see that in formal education.
Well, it's really fun. And I think that when you're giving those kids that opportunity to, once again, have that choice and that voice, they own it more and there's more accountability of it. And it's not me providing something for them. It's them creating it from the tools that we're giving them.
Nice.
And so what that does, and that shows them, then now they have this big tool that they get to utilize for years to come after that. Hopefully they remember it. Yeah. We always hope that they do, but at least now they have that tool that they get to have put this thing together. They've created it and, you know, with it intentionally and directly tied to a skill that they want to do better at. And so the outcome of that is then, you know, having them once again do their fitness testing after the 14 days are up and seeing if they achieved that goal. And then from there, you know, they get really excited about it. It's so much fun, you know, but mm-hmm. There is nothing that we did like this growing up at all. But it's where we are right now and just in present day. I think it's important that kids understand that we want to give them the tools that they need in order to live a healthy and fit life for the rest of their lives, but then also find value and joy to it and take ownership of it because they understand what it feels like in order to have live those benefits out, you know?
Yeah. That's
I awesome. Love that you're really you're putting the fun and joy back into fitness at the same time. I mean, there's just so many great things going on there. And I wish I had that at my school. So my next question is about
thank you
changing your curriculum with COVID. Obviously it must be a huge challenge. So, you know, how is that going for you, and what are some of the challenges you're seeing with COVID?
It has been very exciting and interesting at the same time. We're in the middle of a pandemic right now. So navigating through what that looks like in school and going back to school and making sure that we can still address our students' needs in a safe way, and our and staff's needs and teachers' needs. And there's so many different levels to this, you know, there's so many different moving pieces, but, you know, it looks differently for every single school district or every single state. And, you know, every school is going back differently. So whether it be in person or a hybrid model or virtual, you know, like my school is going, has gone back virtually. It's just goes to specific to what's going on in their area and in their state and what the need is. And, but the biggest goal always is going to be to keep students and staff safe and to make sure that we can still educate them in a meaningful and provide meaningful and valuable education and content to them. You know, I know this week for me is a lot about just connecting with those kids. It's always going to go back to connecting with those kids and making sure that they are okay. So, you know, are they feeling safe? Are they healthy? Are they getting what they need at home? And do they have what they need in order to do a virtual PE class? You know, and do they have a space for that? And some of them might not have an outdoor space where they can do something and in a safe way at the same time. So, you know, how can we look at that and create some options for them in order so that they can be physically active and participate in class? And still be successful, you know?
So what does the virtual class entail? Like what kind of physical activity do you have slated, you know, this week for your kids?
So I think it looks differently for every person or every teacher. And For me, it's a lot of getting back into it. I'm checking in with my kids. I really want to just get to know them. So I'm focusing on their needs and meeting them where they are. And I want to see them smile and I want to get to know their names and I want to see them get excited about class and make that impression and those connections with them. And so we'll have an introduction and we actually start with a mindful minute in every single class. And it's through our Health Moves Minds program, which is just 1 minute where they take one moment and they just stop and they find a comfortable space in their chair or on their bed, or they can lay down on the ground. And like I did earlier today for mine. And everyone needs to stop in their day sometime just to recollect themselves. And I think that's really important, but we start the class with it so that way they can breathe. And if they're feeling anxious about going back to school with not in person, and or they're feeling anxious about what's going on with behind scenes that we don't know about yet, you know, it just helps them to breathe and focus on themselves and put them back to center, and so that they can clear their mind of anything that's happening, and then they can be in space to learn. And it's actually a really good strategy for them to utilize any other time of the day if they need to, or any other time later on in their life. So we started that today, and the kids really enjoy it. And then we do a little bit of lessons and we talk what is going to happen for the day. And then I got them moving with a workout or an interactive workout. And so
was it like a HIIT workout or something like that?
Is it all on Zoom, right?
It is all on Zoom for us. So so yesterday was a like this or that workout. So there was, you know, you had two choices and you should choose. You made a choice of what you liked better, like whether it be, you know, Instagram or Snapchat, you know. And so they went to that side of the screen. And normally if it was face to face, they choose the room. But they choose that side of the screen. And then after that, an exercise would pop up for 30 seconds. And then they would do that exercise. And I did the workout with them. And
wow, I love that.
So it's giving them choice. And it's fun. It's interactive. And it's not necessarily physical activity, and it could be tied into physical education. But right now, the way that it was approached was we want to get you guys up and moving, give you guys some fun. You know, let's create this atmosphere where you feel like you can be silly, be active, you know, and have some fun and be different and make it enjoyable for them. So, and then after that, we go back to a lesson. I show them how to track it because I created a fitness tracker for them to track their stuff. And we talk about what they liked. And then, you know, before you know it, the end of class is there. So website.
Oh, nice.
I'm going to take her class like right now. Like, sign me up. So what do you find the most rewarding about teaching kids PE? I know you love it. I can tell you love it. But is it more, you know, is it about the kids? Like, what do you find super rewarding? Or, like, what are those moments that just light you up inside?
I would have to go with just seeing them be so excited about stuff and seeing them after they achieve something that they didn't think that they could achieve. You know, for example, we do the PACER, which is a fitness test for through the fitness gram, and it evaluates their aerobic capacity. And so, you know, we do the mile in class a lot, and this is obviously pre-COVID I'm speaking of right now, but it would, you know, so when we're doing stuff like that, it's them setting those goals, but then just knocking their goals out of the park. And the feeling that I have is all about like the face that they make, the look that they make after they see how much they achieved that goal, or they barely even got under it, or they just passed it, or, I mean, it's just priceless. They're like, oh my gosh, really? This is the best thing ever. And it just puts like this pure joy on their face. And you're like, gosh, that's so cool. That's why I do what I do. And it just makes it all, it makes kind of the other days that you have like not so great moments, which all teachers have those moments, it just makes it pay off. So I think that, or when kids come back to see you and they say, you know, you really helped through some rough times, or you really helped. It was because of you that I was able to do this, and I'm tearing up over here. you know, it's because of you that, you know, you helped me, you helped give me these tools to navigate through this experience in my life, or you were always there and took the time to hear me. And I just really appreciate what you do and how much time you took. It's those stories that, yes, it's what we do, but it's the fact that we made that connection with them, and they, and that changed them and helped them become a better person. And those are the moments.
Nice.
I'm literally tearing up over here. It's always like the teachers, you know, that, you know, you have those moments in life as a kid, and you hear adults talk about like the one teacher that changed their life or made physical fitness really fun for them. And then that's why they are doing what they're doing now. So it's a beautiful thing to hear those stories.
Thank you. I love what I do. I'm very blessed to do what I do and to work with some really amazing people and students. So
wrapping it up on the one question we ask most of our, you know, guests on this show, because we're the Master Your Health podcast. And what one area of life would you suggest listeners to master first when it comes to their health or, you know, their overall goals?
I'm going to have to go with mindset. And reason being is, I think speaking personally from me and where my life, how my life has developed and how I've grown over the years. And there are a lot of choices in my life, or a lot of choices that I've had where I could have chosen to, you know, think differently, or I could have chosen a different path, or to stay in some type of a mindset that would have been defeating, or from a victim's perspective, or, you know, not an empowered perspective, but not focusing on solutions, but still staying in that problem. And I think we have the opportunity, and we're given the opportunity every single day and every single moment that we have in order to shift that mindset in order to move forward. And it's that shift in that mindset that creates opportunities for us. And, you know, we're creating opportunities for ourselves all the time, whether it be negative or positive, but it's that mindset that allows us to, you know, really grow as a person and help others grow at the same time. And we've got to be able to understand that when we get to a place that we realize that we're doing all of this for a bigger reason, that allows us and that helps us pull our mindset into a better place more often.
That's such a wonderful answer. And honestly, I found this podcast super inspiring. You know, also a lot of hope for getting kids, you know, to fall in love with being active and, you know, getting my kids involved in the future when we have kids, Chris, to try these different types of things. And the fact that you can even get a seventh grader to write their own program, I think is such a great takeaway. I didn't really think about those types of you know, activities to get kids going. But so thank you so much for coming over today.
Thank you for having me.
Seriously, such an inspiration. And we'll catch you guys on the next episode.
Yep. See ya.
See ya.
Bye.